So I asked a question to a couple of people. I ask in front of everybody, how many people actually listened to last week's message again this week? Right. To those who didn't, you guys are crazy. You're crazy. How could you not listen to that again? Trained to respond. Let me say this to you. Last week's message was the foundation for anything else you're ever going to do. Without that, you're just going for the luck of the Christian draw. You're playing Christian lotto and hoping that your number come up. If that's what you... Let me ask a question. Who would say, out of all your prayers, over 50% of them get answered? Over 50%. Let me see your hands again. Over 50% of your prayers get answered. So when you pray, it comes to pass. I'm not talking about your regular everyday stuff. I'm talking about the stuff you believe in God for, and you, no, not, you know, well, yeah, I pray for a parking spot and I get it. And I pray for, you know, I pray that the neighbors stop playing their music loud and they turn it down. I'm talking about the desires of your heart. Over 50% of that gets answered. I'm glad. How many you would say that agree with that 50% that the time of preparation that God walks you through that sometimes seems to have nothing to do with that play the part in that more than 50% being answered? Yeah. I mean, do you see the preparation of God that you took on that percentage that gets answered? You got it now? You understand me, Mike? You got it? Did I explain it good enough? A little bit more? If you're saying more than 50% of your prayers get answered, of the prayers that get answered, is there preparation in advance that you see God do, or does he just hocus pocus you? You look back, you can see it in hindsight. Right. No, I know, usually not at the time. But the hindsight. Roof, you animated today. Come on, girl. Roof in it today. Roof, like you talking my word today. That's all right. I love this energy. So, when I say this is foundational, I need you to understand. I ask us to be prepared to respond correctly to the enemy's attacks and lies and deceptions. We need to be prepared. I came under attack this past week in every area that I talked about, pretty much, except for physical health. And in every area, I think I messed up most of them. After teaching y'all to be trained to respond, the enemy said, let's see how ready you are. Bam, 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 bam. And out of five of them, I got maybe one and a half right. I responded in my emotion. I responded in my flesh. I responded in feeling bad. I responded in beating up on myself. I responded in. Can we talk? So I said, God, we're doing this again, aren't we? He said, oh, yeah. Amen. Trained to respond. I started to feel really, really down about the way I responded to certain things. And God reminded me of a word that he gave me months ago. There's no deliverance in condemnation. There's no deliverance in that. It's only deliverance in speaking words of faith, standing true to the word that you know. Okay, so I won't walk in condemnation. And then God showed me something. How many of you feel like, if you can even remember the message, you may have been challenged in some of those areas this week and didn't respond as good as you would have liked to? Did somebody rub your nerves? Did somebody do something? Did something not go the way you wanted it to go? Yeah. Okay. And God said to me, it's like learning to catch a ball. And the image he gave me was like a football. He said, just because you fumbled it the first couple of times don't mean that you didn't train or practice the first steps. Now you're dealing with the reality of actually doing it. I wasn't very into sports. I learned how to catch a football about 6-7 years ago. I learned how to throw one about 3 years ago. Every time I would throw it, I would feel like I was pulling my arm out of socket. It would hurt. I'd catch the football, it would bust me in the face and the lips and the mouth. A couple of years ago at Ariel's birthday party, I learned how to catch a softball. Ball would come to me, I let it hit the ground. Because every time I put my hand out to catch that ball, even with the glove, that ball would hit my hand and it would hurt. I'm like, look, just let them get the run. And he taught me, he said, no. Well, it wasn't him, it was this young lady who was there. She said, don't catch the ball in your hand, catch it in the web. Put out the glove is big and it got this little web in it. Put out the web and let the ball land in the web and then close it around the web. I'm trying to catch it with my hand. I figured all that extra glove stuff was just so I could catch it, have more grab room, but still, the ball is smacking my hand and it hurts. So after she told me, catch it in the web, I was like, I could do that. Next high fly that came up, came in my direction, and everybody looked at me in anticipation. I run up on it and scooped that suck up and caught it like, bam. Okay. Mike, you were there when we were playing baseball, and he said, put that elbow up. We swing and miss it. Put that elbow, and me and you both start smacking them across the park. The fact that you didn't do it right the first couple of times you tried after your training doesn't mean you failed.
Amen.
It does mean there may be some adjustments you have to make. Yeah. And the adjustments are according to each person's style. Everybody's going to get the fundamentals, but you're going to train to fit your style, your shape, your stature. You watch a bunch of baseball players run, they don't all run the same. They're all running for first base, but they don't run the same. Some trot, some gallop, some sprint. You adjust to your style. The thing is, you have to be in the game. And you have to be willing to fail sometimes. A momentary failure doesn't mean a permanent failure. I figure I'll let you sit with that a few seconds. Just because you tried and you didn't do it right the first time doesn't mean you're out. But you go back to the coach. You get some instruction and some correction. and then you wait for your turn at bat and you get back up there again. Everything that I thought was lined up started going south for me this week. Not everything, but things that I was building things on. So I came outside, and where I was parked, the birds like to sit up there and poop on the car. So I wiped the car off last night and going to bed, coming to church in the morning, and I rebuked the birds and the bird poop. And I came out this morning, and it was like they said intentionally, we're going to poop on nobody's car but yours. I never saw it like that. They actually like drew their names in it and made designs. It was all over the roof. And the enemy said, see, your prayers don't work. You have no power. You don't really have the authority you think you do. And I said, you overplayed your hand. I've seen a drop here and there. That was like artwork. You overplayed your hand. I'm getting back to bat, and I'm going to rehearse my training one more time. Amen. And I'm going to speak it again with a different conviction. Amen. And I'm going to be more determined this time than last time. You know, you don't hear what I'm saying yet. I'm taking you somewhere. I hope you're going with me. When you step out to do what God called you to, and the enemy gives you pushback, it's designed to weaken your stand the next time, and usually does. You come back, and now you're going to say it again, but you're not as confident as you were because you already said it. It didn't work. Who am I speaking to up in here? But when you say, okay, that pushback says to me that I'm going in the right direction, I'm going to be more cocky about it this time than I was last time. I'm going to be more firm about my stand now because you went out your way to tell me it don't work, which means it must work. Somebody give God praise for that. You telling me, you went too far to convince me that I should back down, which tells me I should go forward. I hope I'm encouraging you in here. We practice to win, and we take the failures or what seems to be setbacks as opportunities to build, to do it again. To stand one more time. After having done all, you stand. You don't fold. If you believe that you're sitting at the table and the devil's there playing poker with you, he does not have the winning hand. You do. No matter how he tries to bluff you, his hand is busted. I don't care how it looks, how everybody around the table is making it feel like he's the winner. I'm telling you, the scripture doesn't say he's more than a conqueror. It says you are.
Hallelujah.
It doesn't say he wins. It says you win. So I started talking to God about this preparation. In his wisdom and insight, and I want you to go to James chapter 1. Are you there? That say amen when you're there. I only heard that one amen. Okay, I need some more. James chapter 1. James chapter 1. All right. Consider it pure joy. I'm reading out the MIV. And I never saw the word pure like I saw it this time. It said consider it all joy in the King James. But here says consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, when you face many kinds, trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Consider it pure joy. See, I know you don't want me to keep reading, but we got to get past verse 1. Consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Look at me. It says to consider the pushbacks and the attacks of the enemy as pure joy. Consider it pure joy. See, this is a mindset that will make you win. That's why I said I don't see how you didn't listen to last week's message. I got slammed. Come on. I know that the enemy's trying to discourage a stand. So I can consider it pure joy when I can consider the fact that you're trying to stop something that you know is working. See, so I can take it like that. Okay? Mike, you, Ron, and I got in there and we started laying the floor. And it was a little different from the floor you laid in your house. It was thicker. You couldn't just score it with the blade and pop it. I had to get the saw and cut it. There was dust everywhere. We laid the whole roll down, and it wasn't working. And we had to pull it all back up and start all over again and make an adjustment and lay it and then lay two rows. We got to take off the first row and adjust it. And we had to do that about four or five times till we figured out the lay of the floor in the room. And once we got those rows, then it started to flow. What if we got upset after the first row and said, this don't work, it don't fit? You make the adjustment and you do it again. And as we begin to see it flow, the pure joy was like, yes. So now if you ever have to do that kind of floor again, you already know the ups, downs, and the loops. You've been there. You didn't hear what I just said. You didn't hear what I just said. You can't win if you're not willing to bend there. You can't win if you're not willing to drop the ball a few times. You can't win if you're not willing to open your mouth and say the wrong thing a couple of times and tick a couple of people off to learn to say the right thing. You can't win if you can't survive the bad deal until you get the good deal. Amen. You can't win if you're not willing to count it all joy. This is all part of my process. This is all part of it. You can't win if you're not willing to take some setback. You can't win if you're not willing to adjust. Count it as pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds. We ain't talking about your life being threatened and people trying to kill you. And even that, I'll take that the same. I still say no weapon formed against me shall prosper. But I'm not saying that to say to you God wants to let the devil throw all kind of junk at you. But once you learn to resist him, he'll flee. If you practice that good enough, he'll flee on everything. I didn't mean to go here, but let's just touch that a minute. If you're willing to resist him till he flees and you get good at it, it won't make a difference if it's a sore toe or cancer. Resist and he flees works. You have to be trained to respond. And you have to train yourself to respond instinctively as a winner. Most of us have been trained to respond in disappointment and hanging our heads in sadness or feeling sorry, or, dare I say it, admit it or not, I'm going to say the truth. You're trained to doubt God when it don't work the first time. We're trained, even in church. Well, maybe that ain't what the Lord wanted for you. Just like that? Just like that? Just like that? Just like that? We're trained to give up on God. It's supposed to be magic. And if it's not magic, maybe it ain't his time. No, maybe you ain't in the time. Just something I want to throw out there before I go on. Never say again it ain't God's time. Because God is not cornered by time, ever. God has no time constraints. The past, the present, and the future are all one big now to God. God has history and the future and the present all in his hands at one time. I know your finite mind can't grab that. But God don't have a yesterday. That statement's for you. A day, today, and forever. That's for you. God, time is one big now to him. I shared this with you a long time ago to some of you. You probably remember, some of you don't. When I was homeless and broke, and I said to God, I don't understand. Everything, I stepped out, it didn't work. And God said, you don't understand. I'm not caught up in time. He said, if I want to, I could give you. And what I was believing for at that time was everything I have today. He said, if I want to, I could give you that yesterday. No, not I could have given you it yesterday. He said, if I want to, I could give you everything you're believing for yesterday. Work with that a minute. God doesn't have time constraints. Yeah, I know your mind's figuring, he could give it to me. Yeah. Right. Don't try to figure it out. Just accept it. He's a limitless God. And there's things in my life that I look back and I go, well, you did give it to me yesterday. It took me to the day to see it, but it was there all the time. This building being one of them. It was sitting there a whole year waiting for us to come get it. Everybody was trying to buy it and every deal fell. Waiting for us to come get it. It was told to me, I was told about it a year earlier, but I was still trying to get the other thing. And when I finally woke up, we came here. And then there was a whole year process of going through all the red tape. And God said, so think about it. The year you were supposed to leave there and been here, this year that you just walked through, you could have been there, wrapped up and been here with a smooth transition. But because you waited, you had to now walk that year out with no place. I gave it to you a year ago. Took you a year to see it. The angel said, I came with the answer before you with your prayer. The moment you prayed, but the Prince of Persia withstood me. Well, what breaks you? What breaks him through? What breaks your answer through from the Prince of Persia? Your faith in your stand. Let's keep going. Because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. What am I talking about today? What am I talking about today? Perseverance. Not quitting when it doesn't go your way the first time. But here's what I want to drive home. Well, I want to drive home everything, but I want to drive this one really home. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Wait a minute. We focus on the mature, complete, not lacking anything. But this is the part I want you to get. Let perseverance or patience finish its work. Let faith, let patience, let perseverance finish its work. What did I just say to you? I confessed it. I believed it. You did. I know. I believe. Oh, you do. Mm-hmm. So where's the fruit? Well, I'm just trusting. You didn't let faith, you didn't let patience or perseverance finish its work. Let me make sure you understand it. I don't think you're getting me. So let me bring it home for you. Perseverance is not a statement or a feeling or a moment. It's a job. It's a position. It's a title. It's a specific function that works with your faith. I believe by faith. He said, let your faith be mixed with patience or perseverance. So that means once I stick my statement out there in faith, perseverance goes out to meet the adversary. Okay. Let it finish. Don't call it back before it's done. Why am I sharing this with you today? I asked God, should I tell him? Should I not tell him? Should I tell him? Should I not tell him? I'm telling you. I got a call the other day that my house is sold. These people bought it and they moved in. So, you might as well get this other house we got for you because it's ready. No. Because I walked through the other house, and even though it was beautiful and had all these beautiful things in it, God didn't say to me walking through that house, this is what I want for you. He said it in the other one. Or signs say, boy, that's off the table, bro. It's over. That's done. Rich people, too. Done. They paid cash. I had to go sit back with that. I got to admit, I had to go sit back and go, ouch. And then the enemy took that and said, and everything else you're believing for is going just like that. You're not getting anything that you're standing for. You understand what I'm saying? That's all he needs, okay? But in this thing you believe it for, and the video thing, and this deal, and the salon, and everything, none of it. It's all going to go like that. You're not getting none of that. And I had to sit back and check my preparation. And even though my heart and my flesh felt things, the spirit rose up in me and said, I'm good. I got hit in the face with the football. It didn't feel good. I didn't catch it right. Throw it again. If I get hit in the face 3 more times, throw it again. Give me some coaching. And somebody told me, you know why you keep getting hurt with the football? That's why he says, because you're trying to catch it with your hands and catch it and stop it. And it breaks through your hands and hits you. He said, you put your hands out far, catch the ball, and then bring it into your chest. I was doing this. Oh. He said, no, catch it and then guide it into your chest. Oh.
Yeah, I think my chest could take that hit harder than my face can. Let's do that. And from that point, I caught it right. But then I would throw it, I would hurt my shoulder. He said, you're throwing it with your arm. You're supposed to throw it with your body. He said, you hold it like this, and then you release it. He said, you're doing this. You're going to yank your arm out of socket. Throw it with your body and then let it go. Coaching. Instruction. But I had to do it wrong and get bopped in the face a couple of times and broke my nail down to the white meat and all kind of stuff to learn and adjust. I'm not a football player, nor do I plan to be. But I wanted to know how to do it. So I took the punishment momentarily so I can make the adjustment just for something I just wanted to have fun with. Can you make that kind of commitment to the thing that's your destiny? Get bopped in the head. Get back up. You ain't dead. It ain't over for you. But people are going to laugh at me. What do you care? Do it again. Let patience finish its work. You listening to me? Say, Lord, I surrender to you my patience. Develop me in that area. Your faith has nothing to draw from if your patience is not intact. Are you willing to stand against all hope? Your faith has nothing to anchor to if your patience is not intact. That's training. If your patience is in place, when your faith is attacked, your response is, I can weather this. Did you hear what I just said?
Absolutely.
Automatically, I've been praying and working on my faith. Spend more time on your patience. Because most of you are leaving the dock before the boat comes in. Let's bring this home. Let perseverance or patience finish its work so that you may be mature. You see the maturing process?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
Complete and not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. You must ask in faith. So here we come back again. Ready? You ever asked God for wisdom in a situation? Have you asked God for wisdom in a situation that looked like it didn't come, or it hasn't come yet, or you're still waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting? That first part is not there by mistake. Patience. Ask for wisdom and stop expecting God to be your genie and respond instantly with the request of your mind because you haven't even been prepared for the answer if he gives it to you. Wisdom must be contained, and if your container is not big enough, ain't no sense giving you the wisdom.
Amen.
Wisdom works with understanding. Scripture says that. With all your wisdom, get understanding. Well, if your ability to understand is not there, what good is the wisdom going to do you? So now I must allow patience to complete its work. I've asked you for wisdom, and now God's going to go to work in me, building my receptacle to hold the wisdom I asked for.
Amen. Yes.
Are you going to be patient and wait that out? Most of us are good at making excuses for why things don't work instead of looking for the wisdom we need or the patience we need to grow so that things do work. Let me say this to you, saints. If you still feel the need to justify your actions, every mistake you make, you're not in this place that I'm talking about right now. If you're still ashamed of every mistake you make that you feel like you want to run and hide, you're not ready for this. Count it all joy, extreme joy, even when you make a mistake and do it wrong. If you sought God for wisdom, say, well, I'm in training. I'm in training. I'm in training, and I'm going to let perseverance finish its work in me. Stop getting out every few days and trying to push the situation your way with your own mouth, messing stuff up worse. This word is for me. God said, you got hit. What you going to do? That's just one thing. You got hit. What you going to do? And like I said, it was like a domino effect because the enemy started saying, yep, and I'm going to do it to that and that and this and that and that and that and this and nothing's going to work. And my spirit said, I don't accept that. But after a while, your flesh will beat you up. If you don't shed it up and get a grip on it and put a chokehold on it, the flesh will keep talking. After a while, you can't even hear your spirit anymore. Somebody know what I'm talking about, right? Flesh keeps saying, yeah, but. Then you get a phone call from somebody to confirm what the devil said when your well-meaning, so-called believing friends and family members. So I just kept it to myself. I said, I'm not even going to say any. I ain't going to say it. I'm saying it today because I'm good. But at the moment, I didn't need to even hear, well, it's all right, brother, God going to make a way. And you can tell what they're saying, that they don't even know what they're talking about. I said, I got to let my patience get back to work. So on my way here today, I was driving here, and I put the message on, I listened to it again. I was like, wow, I got trapped in all of this week. I'm good. I'm shutting it down. And I lifted my chest up in the spirit. And I picked my head up high and said, I'm counting it perfect joy that God sees fit. Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? I'm counting it perfect joy. I don't think you're listening to me yet. I'm counting it perfect joy. You ready? That God sees fit to train me. That he found me worthy to be trained. That he picked me and put me on the team for this kind of success or this kind of wealth or this kind of dream or this kind of vision or this kind of hope or this kind of belief. He chose me worthy to be on the team and put me in training. That's huge. Because there's a lot of people ain't called to do nothing. Because God ain't, not because God ain't want to call them, because he ain't found nothing in them that he can work with. So they worthy to go to church every week or go to church every day, time the church doors open, and they're into this ministry and into that ministry and they're into this one and their whole life is that. And I'm in charge of how many cakes go on the table. And it's all they got in their life. They ain't never going to be nothing else. They go to heaven, just going to say, Jesus, I made sure nobody got two slices of cake. That's their claim to fame. I cooked the church dinners every time they had them. And I made sure. No, you know people like that? You don't know people like that? No great move of God in their life is ever going to happen. Because they're never going to allow God to train them. To take a kingdom.
with whatever setbacks come. I remember Angela first came to me and said she wanted to do this pantry. I could see she was nervous. It was a whole new world for her. And I said, well, tell me what you want to do. She did her research. She came back. We just got to go get cans of beans and bread or whatever we could buy, and we got to give it out. And we got to do that for a couple of years to prove ourselves worthy. And at that moment, I knew she made a commitment to this. When she explained, she looked up the principle and she saw nobody's going to help us. They're not even going to give us a quarter. So we got the old refrigerator from the garage, I think it was, and bought it and stuck it downstairs in the basement and started going at Aldi's and stores and loading up with dollar macaroni and cheeses and cans of corn and beans or whatever and start putting them in little shopping bags and giving them out. No, we did can too. Sometimes we just had a loaf of bread and some macaroni and cheese. But we gave it out. And that patience, that unnerving patience, we didn't have volunteers, helpers, freezers, refrigerators, racks, cabinets, thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of things that have been given and donated because she was willing to go the whole route for 2 years to let patience finish its work to have a full functioning pantry. Right. Yeah. That's a process. Yeah. You'll come say, wow, the pantry is such a blessing. Do you know what it took before you came to help? It was just her and I in plastic bags that we would bring in from the house. We would go to Walmart, whatever, and always, when we packed bag, always put an extra one in there just so we had some extra bags. I think God understood because he knew he was going to feed the people. He had mercy on us stealing the Walmart bags. No, we would. We would pack our bag, then we'd grab a handful of shopping bags and jam it in there. Now they come by shipment. Mm-hmm. Right. But the process. Let patience finish its work. Let patience finish its work. And if you do, count it totally joyful when the pressures and stuff come against your visions and dreams. Count it totally joyful. Accept it as an honor to be on God's team. And if you let that patience that God is distributing to you, because that's where it's coming from, finish his work, you will be perfect, you will be entire, and you will lack nothing.